Welcome to today's morning service. Today we are starting our series in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms to God's people has been a great blessing to many saints over the years. And I'm glad that you've joined us for today's start of today's series. The book of Psalms, and in particular the first Psalm, really encapsulates the whole book of the Psalms. It starts off with the way of blessedness of God's people, the way of blessedness, and that of course there is a warning to the unrepentant. And so the essence of the first Psalm we have here encapsulates the whole book of the Psalms. And so to begin with, isn't it wonderful how the first chapter, the first psalm, opens with a benediction, a blessing upon the converted man, the converted woman. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And so the psalmist, David the psalmist, who is the author of the Psalms, of most of the Psalms, explains the blessed condition of the man or woman of God. And let's just read the opening few verses of Psalm 1. Verse 1 of Psalm 1 reads as follows: Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And it goes on to say in verse 3, And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so the psalmist here explains the blessed condition of the converted man, of the born-again believer, the one who is trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. That person walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That is an attribute that they have. They walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. They hear the Good Shepherd's voice. They hear God's word. Their decisions do not come from the world, from men's counsel. They come from God. They listen to their Good Shepherd. They are known of their Good Shepherd. And so, whenever they make a decision, whether in marriage, whether it be entertainments, whether it be whatever it is in life, they always bring it to the bar of Scripture. Scripture is their counsel. Like it says, the Lord Jesus will be called Counselor, Wonderful, Mighty God. And so their counselor, the Word of God, is what really counsels the man or woman of God. And the contrast is that those who are not Christians, who are unrepentant, of course, do not go to that counsel. They go to the world's empty systems and the lofty things of this world, secular science, and the things of this world, the passing things of this world. And so the psalmist explains the blessed condition of the converted man or woman, that he walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, and neither does he stand in the way of sinners. He is someone, of course, that doesn't listen to ungodly counsel, and he's not found in the ways of that counsel. Because he believes in God's word, he does not want to be around those who blaspheme God's word. He does not want to be amongst those who live out their ungodliness, who abound in sin. And we see here the blessed condition of the converted man. They don't want to be around, they don't take on board ungodly counsel, and neither do they want to be around, they don't want to be in situations or positions where they are around those who are abounding in sins, in the pubs or the clubs, or wherever that may be, ungodly entertainments, places where it will drive them or tempt them into sin. And so their whole decision-making process, the condition of the godly, the whole decision-making process centers around the Word of God. Because they do not receive the counsel of the ungodly. Their counsel is from the Lord, and they do not stand in the way of sinners. They do not do the things that the worldlings do. They want to do the things which are wholesome, which are right, which are pleasing to the Lord God. And it goes on to say, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And here we see the degrading nature of sin. We see here the degrading nature of sin. A person starts off in life, of course, if they start off in life receiving ungodly counsel, and they persist in their ungodly counsel, then they will find themselves in the way of sinners. They'll be wanting to do those things that sinners do. They want to be enjoying those things that sinners do. And they will think light of sin, think light of eternity, and they'll end up actually, if they persist in ungodly counsel, if they frame their life around ungodly things, they will end up being scornful and a scoffer to the things of God. They'll end up being very hostile to the Word of God. They'll end up being a very resentful person to the things of God. And they'll blame everything on God. They'll blame wars on God. They'll blame this on God and that on God. And if they lose a loved one, they'll blame that as well on God. And so we see here the degrading nature of sin, how if someone does not listen to the counsel of God, does not listen to their conscience, does not listen to the preaching of God's word, does not listen, of course, to all their senses that tell them that there is a designer, that there is one who loves them and someone who is seeking to know them, seeking to have a relationship with them. If they disregard all that and they remain unrepentant, we see that degrading nature of sin. How if they reject God's counsel, there is a degrading nature. They start off and persist in ungodly counsel. They don't want to be under the gospel message. They find no interest in the things of God. And of course that ends up in their actions. I don't want to hear the things of God. I want to be doing those things. I want to be entertained. And I have no time for the things of God. No time for the things of eternity. No time for the things of my soul anymore. And you see, if you persist in ungodly counsel, you'll be found in the way of sinners. And that's why you see, particularly in people who have been rejecting the gospel, the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for many years, their hearts get so hard, and they end up, to begin with, they might start off not being scornful to the gospel, but many years of rejecting God's word will end up, they will be full-on participators in standing in the way of sinners. They'll be doing those things which they never dreamt that they'll be doing. You know, I can testify to this. When I was a teenager, I started to listen to ungodly counsel. And that ungodly counsel in my late teens led to actions. I started to do the things which I was being counseled in, to go for this world's ideals, to listen to the world's ideals, to give yourself to the things of this world, to live for number one, that ideology, to live for self. And of course, that meant that the counsel I received from my peers and everyone else, that led to a life abounding in sin. Now, I praise the Lord that I didn't go to the next step where that I became scornful to the things of God. The Lord saved me, and praise Him. But many people do go on to that next step where they persist in sin. They carry on in ungodly counsel, and they become doers of sin, and they live for the things of this world and not for the things of God. Then they start to become hard-hearted and start scorning and become bitter to the things of God. That is the degrading nature of sin that we see in this passage of the ungodly, in contrast to the godly. Now, in saying all of these things, the psalmist explains the blessed condition of the godly, that the godly walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It doesn't want to do the things which the ungodly people are doing, employ the same entertainments, go to the same places, as it were. Their actions are governed by God and by His Holy Spirit. They are conformed to the Word of God. Now, if this is true, and it is true with those who are in the way of blessedness, those who are converted, if this is true, and it is, of the blessed, why? Why are so many Christians complicit in sending their children to a pagan institution, to schools, to be indoctrinated by the wicked things which are going on in school systems? It is like me saying as a Christian, I will allow my children to go to a Muslim school, or a school of Islam, or school, a Buddhist school. People would look at me in horror to be brought up in that religion. People would look at me in horror. And yet, many Christians are complicit in sending their children to a pagan system where the things of God are hated, where you cannot even speak the words of Jesus Christ, where they are taught to love self and self-determination, where the things of God are derided, where the commands of God are blasphemed. And truly, we who are Christians need to wake up to this, because it says, the psalmist says, the condition of the blessed, that they are those who walk in the counsel of not of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. And if this be the case of the blessed, how much more our children? How much more bringing up our children in ungodly counsel, and teachers who often in the school system and higher education system are completely against the things of God, who really not only with their words but their lifestyles oppose the Bible, who think the Bible's wicked. And this is the counsel which they are receiving every day, six to eight hours a day, receiving this counsel for 10 to 12 years of their life. And we think that by putting plasters on, that somehow it's going to remedy the problem. Dear friends, we who are Christians need to wake up by God's grace. And I say this out of love, that and to you pastors and ministers who are listening to this message, I pray that the Lord will give you courage to stand up and not to be neutral on the subject, and actually to tell it for what it is. It is a system, the secular education system is a system that is taking our children away from the things of God. And if we who are Christians don't want to be around ungodly counsel, nor stand in the way, the wicked things that go on in schools. I was a grown up in the school system. I was brought up in the school system, so was my wife. And the many wicked things that we endured and were taught, and our peers, the massive peer pressure which we endured was awful. And the school system is far worse now. And both my wife and I experienced school systems across three continents. Me in South Africa, my wife in America, and I also for some time in England. Dear friends, all of those systems are given over to wickedness. And if we desire to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, we who are Christians, and nor stand in the way of sinners, why do we allow our children to? Isn't it about time that we pray for grace and courage to take our children out of that wicked institution and to educate our children, as the scriptures clearly teach, to bring our children up in the ways of the Lord, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's parents' responsibilities, Christian parents' responsibilities, to bring their children up in the ways of the Lord. It's not the state's responsibilities. So forgive me for the digression there, but I think it's an important one. Because the psalmist explains the blessed condition, and that not only includes for Christians, but that also includes for our children as well. We are stewards of what God gives us. And so the psalmist carries on in the blessed condition, that his delight is in the law of the Lord. That his delight is in the law of the Lord. You know, if you're a true believer in the gospel, if there's been a transformative, if there's been a great change in your life when you've believed in the gospel, you will love, you will delight in the law of God. It will be fixed upon the right foundation. It is no longer a taskmaster, as it were. It's no longer a burden to you. Because you believed in Jesus Christ, the law of God is upon that right foundation. You now delight in the law of God. You want to keep the law of God. You want to keep the God's day holy. You want to be kind. You want to not rob from and steal from God. You want to give to God the glory due to his name in the way you live out your life. You delight in the things of God through an inner principle of that change that God has wrought in your life through grace. And so the believer in the law of God, the blessed condition the psalmist is describing here, is someone who delights in the law of God. It hedges them in, as it were. They delight in those things. And the psalmist goes on to say, "And in his law doth he meditate day and night. In his law doth he meditate day and night." And of course, we have here the condition of the blessed man or woman of God. They think upon the things of God. They muse on the things of God. Perhaps when they close their eyes and they go to sleep, they think upon the law of God. They think of the word of God. They think about the day, how the day is gone. And they bring that to the Lord God. They are ever thinking upon these things. They are ever governed by the words of God. They remember God's word. They are not a forgetful hearer. They are a doer of God's word. So this is the blessed condition of the man or woman of God. Now, of course, the psalmist's words, if the psalmist's words are foreign to you, if you are not experienced this blessed condition, if you do not study God's word, you have no love for God's word in your heart, then how can you be in the way of blessedness? If you truly not delight in the law of God and want his counsel and are a doer of his counsel and study God's word and love his word by his grace, how can you, if you do not do those things and you do not desire those things, how can you be in the way of blessedness? Because the psalmist says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." His delight is in the law of God. He delights in those things. And so what are the results of this blessed condition the psalmist is describing in today's psalm, in Psalm 1? Let's read the results. In verse 3 it says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." And so the results of this blessed condition is that he will be like a tree, or she will be like a tree. And not just any old tree, not a wild tree. He or she, because they've believed in the gospel, because they've undergone a great transformation, a supernatural transformation in their heart, will be like a fruitful tree. And not just any old fruitful tree, a tree that is planted of God. This is someone who is planted of God, not by men's words, but by God's words. A great transformation has happened in their life. And if you can imagine, we see trees, the best trees nowadays, the greenest trees, are often seen along and nearby riversides, aren't they? By the river. And we think of that great river, the Nile, that crosses all the way through Egypt and into other countries. You know, 95% of people in Egypt, 95% of people in Egypt live within kilometers of the Nile River. 95% of people, such as the life that it gives. And of course, this is true with the believer, with the condition of the believer. They are planted by God's grace, by the rivers of water. They have an ever-flowing grace, the streams and rivers of grace flowing into their hearts. And so they are planted by the rivers of water, planted of God, planted by grace. If we turn into our Bibles to John 3:8, God's word teaches us that, let's read that, John 3:8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So is everyone born of the Spirit of God. Someone is not born a Christian. Someone has to have a new nature. They have to be born of the Spirit of God. They have to be born again. And the same Spirit that takes the same wind that takes a seed and plants it and establishes it into a fruitful tree near the rivers of water is the same wind that blows the chaff and those who reject the gospel, those who remain unrepentant, it's the same wind. You see, we have here the condition of the blessed and we have here the condition of the unrepentant, the ungodly. The same wind plants the seed by the rivers of water and they are blessed of God. And those who do not seek God in life, who remain unrepentant, they are like chaff. The wind blows them away, of course, from the things of God. They're given unto their own sin. They're bound in sin. They don't listen to God's counsel. They don't frame their life. They don't read their Bible. They employ as many distractions as possible to get away from the things of God. And so here we have the two conditions, the condition of the blessed, the true believer in the gospel, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course the unconverted, the ungodly. It also goes on to say, the leaf of that tree will not wither because where it is planted. It is planted by the rivers of grace. It won't wither. Because it's always depending upon God's word. It has a continual supply of water, of refreshment, as it were, of God's grace. The Christian is one who doesn't depend upon himself, like the ungodly depend upon themselves. They depend upon the counsel of peers and of upon celebrities and upon this person and that person. That's not true of the Christian. The Christian is one who depends upon God and His grace and has that flow and that stream. And that's why his or her leaf shall not wither. And you know, the world may look upon the Christian in outer season. And they may look upon the Christian in outer season where the Christian is cut and when the Christian is in darkness, in the winter, in the outer season as it were. But you know, what they don't see is the cutting and the darkness that some Christians endure makes them more fruitful for God. And then, of course, this is not true with the worldling. This is not true with the ungodly. When the ungodly are cut, they rage. When the ungodly endure darkness, of course, they need to have more materials. They seek to fill that void with the world instead of with God's grace. And so David here is describing the condition of the blessed and the ungodly. Verse 3 of Psalm 1 reads as follows, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why is it that whatsoever he doeth, that is the blessed man, why is it that whatsoever he doeth will prosper? Well, because he is born of God. is born of the Holy Spirit of God. He is of God. He hears God's voice, God's counsel. He believes in God's word. He studies God's word. He loves God's word. He delights in God's word. He or she loves God's word. It's more precious than gold and silver that perisheth. And so his rule in life is to live by God's word. And it's not talking about a material prosperity here or a financial prosperity. It's talking about spiritual prosperity. Those who are born of God, they care more for spiritual prosperity than for worldly prosperity. And that, of course, is unlike the ungodly. They care more for their bank balance. They care more for what people think of them. They care more for their worldly securities, their status. But this is not true with the Christian. The Christian cares more for their spiritual prosperity. They care more for their standing with God. They go to God for counsel. They repent of their sins, of their inbred sins. And they ask God for grace and for help and for perseverance in Christ. And so their life, the condition of the blessed's life, is completely centered around God. It's near the rivers of water. They're planted by the rivers of water. Their whole life is around God's grace, depending upon God. Not upon self. The world depends upon self. But the man or woman of God is planted by God's grace, and they depend upon him. Where he is planted, where the man or woman of God is planted, affects the course of his life, doesn't it? Now, where he is planted, that is the man or woman of God, is not where he is naturally from. Have you noticed that? In this psalm, where he is planted is not where he is naturally from. Because first, he has to be planted. You know, he could have started off, this man, this blessed condition the psalmist is describing here, he could have started off in a barren land, in a barren part of the country, in the barrenness of materialism, of atheism, in an unconverted family, with an unconverted father, with an unconverted, a complete unconverted family. And the Lord has plucked him up, as it were, and the wind, the Spirit of God has quickened him, and of course, has made him alive to the things of God, as it says in Ephesians 2. He has been quickened and brought to life in Christ. He now, God has enlightened his understanding and has planted him firmly in the rivers of grace, near the rivers of water. He is grounded now and rooted in the things of God. He doesn't look to the things of this world for happiness anymore. And so, where he is naturally from, could be completely different. He could have started off in a barren land of materialism. You know, he or she could have started off, that is someone who has this blessed condition, they could have started off on the lofty mountaintops of works. They could have started off there. And they may look impressive, but when the scorching heat of the sun comes up, of course, they have no grounding and rooting in the earth. All the greenest and the strongest trees are found near the rivers, aren't they? In the valleys and the rivers, not upon the mountain of works, nor upon the barren land of materialism. They're found along the rivers. And that, of course, is the condition of the godly. They are found depending upon God by grace. There's been a great transformation that's happened in their life. They are now have a new foundation. The good seed has fallen upon good ground, the word of God. They believe in the word of God. Their hearts have become hearts of flesh and not of stone anymore. And so they receive it gladly. And so we see in verse 4 the difference between the blessed and the ungodly. It says in verse 4, the ungodly are not so. The ungodly are not so. Their condition, that is the ungodly, their spiritual condition, that is completely different to the blessed. Theirs is a stark contrast. There's a stark contrast between the two. The condition of the godly and the condition of the ungodly. The blessed and the ungodly. The blessed are planted by God's grace, by the rivers of waters, that is by God's grace. And the ungodly, those who reject the gospel of grace, are driven away by the same wind that the Holy Spirit, that the blessed are planted by in the rivers of grace, because they've rejected the gospel of grace. They've rejected God's gospel. And so the chaff are those who reject God and reject his gospel. They're blown away, as it were. And what, therefore, is the difference between the two? The godly, the blessed, and the ungodly. What is the difference between the two? And this should humble us if we are true Christians, if we are in the way of blessedness. This should humble us. What is the difference between the two? The difference is grace alone. That is the only difference between the two conditions, God's grace. And that is it. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:7, "For who maketh thee to differ from another?" Who makes us differ from one another? We cannot tell what direction the wind comes from, and neither can we tell the Spirit of God. We are just thankful that the Lord has shown grace and mercy to us. And we seek, of course, others to know of his grace and his mercy, and to believe in the glorious gospel, and to seek him, and to turn from their wicked ways, and to repent of their sins. And the Apostle Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 4:7, "And what hast thou that thou didst not receive?" Of course, this should keep the Christian humble, the blessed man or woman humble. It says in verse 4 again, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away." The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Because the ungodly reject the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ, the contrast between the two, of course, is further extended. The one has received the incorruptible word of the living God, has fallen upon good ground, and the other has rejected God's word. They seek man's counsel. They entertain their senses. They don't want to be still and to know God. They rejected God's word. They're more interested in worldly pursuits and worldly things. And therefore, what can those who reject the gospel chaff, as the Bible says here, the useless bits of wheat and corn, what are they therefore good for? They are good for nothing, because they have rejected their Maker. They have rejected the life and soul that God has given them. And unlike seed which has a heaviness to it, chaff is light and is easily carried away by the wind. They are light and vain and easily carried away by the world's systems. Just live for yourself, they say. Live for number one, this ungodly counsel. The ungodly counsel in our school system, in our higher education system. Live for yourself. Self-determination. The strongest survive. Pursue your career. Do all these things. But don't look to God's word. And people scorn at God's word. And of course they are like chaff which the wind drives away. It goes to say in verse 5, "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." One will stand in the judgment, and the other will not stand in the judgment. One will have an advocate. One will have God as their advocate, and God, who cannot look upon sin, of course, sent an advocate for us who believe in the gospel, who steps in the way and defends us, as it were. He is our advocate. He is the one who says, "I will pay that great debt of sin because they have believed in me." He is our advocate. He is our substitute. He has taken on our sin if we believe in him. And that this is the condition of the blessed believer. They have an advocate. On the day of judgment, God will not look upon them as a judge. He will look upon them as blessed children. Because when he looks upon a Christian, he doesn't see their misgivings. He doesn't see their faults. He doesn't see their sin anymore. He remembers it no more. what he sees is the righteousness, the imputed righteousness of his Son, the righteousness which they are now justified in, because Jesus Christ came to die for sinners such as us, so that we could be made the righteousness of God. And he has risen, making a way for us to be right with God. And if you reject that, dear friends, you are in the way of the ungodly, and you are in big trouble. And you need, at once, to turn from your sin, and to be born of the Spirit of God, and experience for yourself God's goodness in your life, and the supernatural transformation that he can have in your life by his Holy Spirit. It's a matter of the heart. And so we see here the contrast between the godly, the blessed, and the ungodly. Of course, the person who is unpenitent will have God as their judge and not their advocate. They'll have God as their judge. And who will gainsay against God? Who will say to God then, or what about the wars, or what about this, or what about that? And of course, you will not be able to say anything, because God has given you your life. He has sustained your every breath. And he has given you many chances to repent and to turn from him. Much time, and you've rejected that. And of course, you've not only rejected your life, but you've rejected a life of eternity with God in heaven. You've rejected that. He has made you for eternity. And you've kicked against the pricks of conscience. And so God, if you are in this condition, will be your judge and not your advocate. One will enjoy blessed communion with God and with God's people in the congregation of the righteous in heaven forever. There will be no ungodly counsel. There won't be standing in the way of sinners. And this, of course, is a blessed hope for the Christian, a sure hope that one day we will not have to endure that anymore. We wouldn't have to endure the counsel of the ungodly. The sneering at the things of God, the making light of sin, the making light of eternity, the laughing at the things of God, the scorning of the things of God, the framing around everything but God, the Christian, of course, can look forward to being with God. And that, of course, should be our great hope, that we are those who are pilgrims here upon earth. We can't wait to get to heaven. Yes, we've got responsibilities and duties here, but really, we cannot wait to get to heaven. Death is not the end for us. Death really brings us true life in eternity. No more tears, no more sin to spoil anymore, no more evil counsel, no more people trying to take us away from the things of God. As you see, the blessed condition is something to really seek after in life. And so, one will enjoy the blessed communion with God and with the saints of old, because one has received Christ's imputed righteousness and the other has not. Only those who have perfect righteousness, of course, shall stand in the day of judgment. And except your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, who will you be standing in, dear friends? You need to be trusting in Christ alone, through grace alone. And to conclude today's sermon, in verse 6 of today's first Psalm 1, it reads, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. He knows the way of the righteous because the righteous depend upon his ways. They depend upon Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. They depend upon his grace. They are no longer independent from the things of God. They are dependent upon the things of God. He knows their way because he's ever familiar with that way. Because they're in his Son. They abide in the vine. And they are fruitful because they abide in the vine. They bring forth fruit because they're in the way. And so he does know the way of the righteous because they're in his way. Those are righteous who believe and follow Jesus Christ, who seek him with their whole heart, who are born again of the Spirit of God, who are planted by God, who desire the counsel of God, who study God's word, who love God's word, who delight in God's law, who don't want to be, don't listen to the world's ideology and God's, the world's rebellion against God. This is the way. Are you in it, friends? Or are you still rejecting God in your life and rejecting the gospel? And so, those are righteous who believe and follow the way, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way, of course, that way is a way of holiness. We don't want to be doing things that we used to be doing in our unconverted days. We don't want to be doing and giving ourselves to temporary things, carnal things. We want to be doing heavenly things. We want heaven's counsel. We want our Maker, who knows our frame better than ourselves. We want His counsel, not a proud dust's counsel. And so, that way is the way of holiness. We love God's word, but that is the blessed condition, a way of holiness. And although even the Christian who cannot, in himself or herself, cannot be completely holy, God sees them as holy because they have Christ's righteousness. But their pursuit is the pursuit of holiness. They want to please God. They want to delight in God's word. And God gives them grace because they're planted by the rivers of God. It is the way of true faith in Christ. They no longer walk by their senses. They walk by faith now in God's word. They believe in faith in God's word. And so they don't trust their own better opinion of themselves. They trust in God's word. They walk by faith. The way of the ungodly, it says, shall perish. And that, of course, is a temporal way. That is a carnal, fleshly way. That is a way that despises God's word and God's counsel. That is a way that thinks light upon one's sin, thinks light on the things of eternity, that doesn't think upon death, doesn't think upon the eternal matters, eternal purposes. A way which is obsessed with self, obsessed with self-love. It's all about me. It's all about what I want in life. This is the way of the ungodly. The way of the ungodly shall perish. That is a way that makes light of the things of God and esteems the counsel of men and looks to the scientists, the evolutionists, who looks to the those things of this world, the culture's ideals for contentness, for happiness. But the condition of the blessed is the opposite to that. They look to God, to God's counsel, and their lives are conformed according to His word. And to finish today's I'll start in today's book of Psalms, Psalm 1. I'm going to end with 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. For He, that is the Lord Jesus, for God the Father hath made Him, that is the Lord Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Dear friends, it's not how you start off in life. We all start off not planted in God. You cannot be baptized as a baby and become a Christian, or any other works-based system, dear friends. It's not how you start off in life, it's how you end that counts. And if you truly do turn from God to God's counsel and frame your life around the things of God, and you may be accustomed to framing your life around wicked things, and the heart gets harder, and if you carry on in that way, of course you'll become a scorner of the things of God. But if you turn to God, He was made for sin who knew no sin. He will forgive you every single sin. He will completely transform your life, your heart, so that you live for Him. You'll be born again of the truth. You'll know of His complete redemption from your sin. His precious blood will cleanse you from all sin. And I do pray, if there are people out there who are listening to this sermon, I pray that you will turn to that blessed way that is found in Jesus Christ alone by His grace. And I pray that also you who are Christians who are listening to this message, that you may take heed to the things I've said concerning the responsibility of Christians. And so I pray that God's most precious word once again may have blessed you today.